Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series, Voices. This adventuring program for Grace Radio features the voices of our neighbors right here in Slidell, talking about matters of community interest. And our guest today is Jay Newcomb. The man's been in town for a couple of decades now. We thought we'd chat with him and listen to some of the interesting parts of his life and maybe where it's going from here. So, Jay, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Appreciate you being here with us today. You've been here since the early 90s, is that about right?
Yes, sir. I moved here in August of 1991.
Okay, and people should be familiar with your name, particularly in one part of town, in that you served our city government for a while.
Yes, sir. I was on the Slidell City Council from 2010 to 2018, representing District F, which is roughly bordered, on the west side by the railroad tracks on the east side, the back side of Tanglewood, and then between North Boulevard and the W-14, roughly. So it's the most dense residential district of all of Slidell.
Oh, great.
There's very little commercial except that little part of Robert Road. So my issues, or the issues that I dealt with, were pretty standard, but they were important to those who needed the attention, of course. But it was, because it was residential, I wasn't dealing with a lot of commercial issues.
Okay. Well, what made you interested in Slidell? And then later, what made you interested in politics?
Good question. I was teaching in Ruston, Louisiana. I was coaching basketball and teaching at Ruston High School. And my brother's a doctor here in town, Dr. James Newcomb. One of his nurses, I believe it was, Miss Marjorie Culpepper, let him know that there was an assistant coaching job open at Slidell High. And knew that I was a basketball coach, so he let me know, and that started the ball rolling, and came down and interviewed and went to job fair and all those things that are necessary. And my wife and I moved here in August of 1991. Been here ever since.
August of 1991. That makes you, I guess, about as much a citizen as a lot of people in Slidell.
I tell people this, I have learned this too since 1991. There's a lot of non-natives to Slidell, but I think one thing we all have in common is once you lived here a while, it's definitely home. I can't imagine, I wouldn't want to live where I grew up anymore. Nothing against Franklin, Louisiana, but or Ruston, but I love Slidell.
Well, for the people who are regular listeners to the program know that I'm really a cheerleader for Slidell and for all that it stands for. And I think it has a lot to do with just good people making a good life and caring about each other.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can go back and not specific instances, I suppose, but especially having been a teacher and a councilman, in some of those jobs you hear more complaints than you hear positives.
There you go.
Kind of the nature of the beast. But I tell them all the time, be careful what you wish for because it could be a whole lot worse. This is a great community.
Well, sounds like between being a coach and a councilman that you're a people-oriented person.
I've always enjoyed that part of it. I mean, I remember even being a kid growing up, I was always blessed with I hate talking about myself, but I was always told I had a good personality, outgoing personality, and I guess I credit that to my parents. And, I just have always enjoyed that. I enjoyed talking to people. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed even running for council. Probably the hardest part of running for office is knocking on doors and the time it takes. You don't just put flyers in the mail. But that was by far the most interesting part. That was more interesting than being on the council.
Well, I can see being a teacher. I can see shaping young lives and causing them to come out to be contributing citizens of society. I can see that. But why in the world would you want to be a politician?
Oh, it's one of those things, Always I don't say when I was a kid, but it was always interested me. I taught math, so I wasn't social studies or anything. But I always was interested in government and how government works, and I wanted to see it. I wanted to be part of a solution, and I think we did some very good things during my 8 years. And I was just a part of that. The council and the administration worked very well together. But it's I just wanted to see what that was like. Because you hear, I was just like everybody else, you think you know, why can't they just do this? Well, there's a lot of reasons you can't just do that. There are rules in place, and a lot of it is for the, you know, for the benefit of the public. They just don't, they don't see it.
So you're kind of looking at the big picture and wanting to solve some problems and wanting to help people out and wanting to solve your own curiosity for how does this thing really work?
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's pretty much it. I really believe it took me probably the whole first term to understand all of it, to really get a good grasp, or, you know, from everything, Robert's Rules of Order. You know, really understanding, you can't just look at the agenda and say, okay, what's on the agenda? And I had a full-time job at the same time.
Oh, so you're still teaching during this time?
Right. I was teaching. I retired from teaching last May 2018, and my second term ended on the council in June of 2018.
Okay.
So during all those 8 years, I was still at school teaching. You know, so I was, and so you still have to carve out that time to understand those issues and you know, and meet with your constituents and field their calls or their emails. And I wish we would always wish I would have received more of them. But you know, you to flesh out the problems. And. And there's always this give and take. It's kind of interesting between, you know, just especially if it's a big issue, on what is your personal view, your personal, I won't say vote, and how it may affect the city and your district and your constituents. And that's not every vote, but there are times when, you know, your head is saying one thing and you're saying, well, but maybe that's not the best thing for the city or my constituents. You know, so you have that kind of what's going on now nationally between the, I guess, your ideals, ideological views, and the reality of the situation.
As important as the job of being a councilman is, it's not in a vacuum. You work with 8 other people. I believe that's the correct thing.
Yes, sir.
There are 9 sitting on the council.
Yes, sir.
And the mayor and the city attorney, probably a lot of constituents with opinions. So to say that one person in that total group could command a result, working within that group, what do you think the biggest accomplishment was of the group, or maybe yourself? Maybe you proposed something that you're just really particularly proud of.
Probably, that's actually a fairly easy question, because in 2010, and Mayor Drennan had the same vision as I did, and I'm going to give you the short version here. I went to Louisiana Tech, and I was familiar. I actually know the president quite well, have a personal relationship with him and the vice president. And I knew that Louisiana Tech had done some research here right after Katrina. One of the professors had come down and taken some, just did some basic research on the effect of flooding on underground infrastructure, and took that information to Mayor Drennan. And he was already thinking about this, so it wasn't just my idea, but we made a trip up to Ruston in September of 2010, met with them, and they got the ball rolling for all this $100 million, $120 million FEMA grant that we're getting a lot of this infrastructure work done. They had a big hand in that. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to take the credit for it, but having those contacts and convincing Mayor Drennan and some of the rest of the council to make that trip, I think they realized that the expertise was here in state, and Louisiana Tech and their researchers could be a valuable partner to us, and they proved to be so. So that's probably what I am most proud of. It's most of the work will be on the south side of town. But
and that's not even your district.
No, it's not. It's just, and that's what I say, that's when you're going, what can I do? You know, what can I contribute to the community that I've grown to love, whether it be my district or not, you know? So that probably in itself would be my number one, I won't say accomplishment, but maybe the thing I'm most proud of.
Well, again, it's a part of a team.
Right.
The council doesn't do things in a vacuum, neither does the mayor or anybody else. So to be a part of that and to have played a serious role, information is king, to have played a serious role was pretty commendable. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. It was, it was a long, Katrina was 05. We did this trip in 2010. And so FEMA at that point is thinking, you know, hey, I thought we were done with the city of Slidell, but we addressed things that we could see, but we never addressed the things that were underground. And Dr. Arez Alush was the one that did the initial research. In his thesis or whatever when he did the research, he said in 5 years, you'll see the rate of deterioration of the infrastructure will be dramatic. And sure enough, I mean, you know, it was like we started seeing sinkhole after sinkhole, just where things were. And it wasn't all just due to flooding. It was the weight of the trucks on the street, the weight mm-hmm. of the trash on the street. Streets are hard, but they're not meant for that kind of wear and tear.
Sure. Well, that's just an amazing accomplishment. Having talked with Mayor Drennan in some of our interviews, he was pretty proud of that 110 or 20 million, whatever it was. Glad to see that it was a team effort. During the last mayor's race, changing this conversation slightly, he talked about that was one of the best marriages between the administration and the legislative part of our city for getting many good things done. Mayor Drennan was often bragging on the council and how much they had gotten done. And with the change of personalities, you look at this and you said, hopefully we can build on the foundation. And it looks like we're building on that good foundation.
I agree with you. I think we had for my 8 years, we had a very good relationship with the administration. They had a very good relationship with us. We didn't always agree, which is the beauty of it. You know, nobody took things personally. I had votes where it went against, maybe it was something that doing a street or whatever it may be, and maybe it didn't pass, but it wasn't a personal thing, you know, and I didn't say, well, you didn't vote for me, so I'm not voting for you. It was, all of us had that same goal in mind, do what was best for Slidell. And that was really, you asked earlier, why did you want to get in politics? That was one of the reasons right there, just to see that dynamic. Because in the classroom, and I know I'm maybe jumping all over the place, but in a classroom, you're the boss. You're the sole.
That's right.
You know, there's compromise between yourself and a student possibly, but mainly it's, hey, because you got to do that. And the political world was just the opposite of that. It had to be cohesive and working together. So that was very interesting.
Called a totally different skill set.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. But you had to know your audience. You had to know your subject matter. So it was similar yet quite different.
Interesting. Well, tell me about your family a little bit.
Well, I grew up in Franklin, Louisiana. Mom and dad and three brothers. And my dad was in the sugar business. I went off to Louisiana Tech in 1980, finished up there in 87. I came back and worked with my dad at Sugar Mill a couple times. And
okay.
Married, my wife is from Ruston, Peggy Fuller Newcomb. We got married in 1987, right before I graduated, as a matter of fact. Have a son. Casey is 30, I always got to think, he's 34, 35. You lose track. And him and his wife live here. I've got, he's got a stepdaughter and three sons, so I've got four grandchildren.
Wow.
My oldest daughter,
awesome.
Natalie, is 28, and she lives in Houston. She's a graduate of University of Houston, was a swimmer, married a baseball player. And then my youngest daughter is actually at Tech right now in Ruston, Abigail. And like I said, we moved here in 1991, and then life just kept on going.
Doing life.
Yeah.
Well, you said you retired recently from being a school teacher, and do you miss it?
I miss parts of it, you know. I do miss those interactions with the kids, you know, because they, you know, it gets frustrating sometimes. But there's nothing like watching a kid learn, you know. That was even the coaching part of it, and maybe you don't hear that enough. You hear the bad. It's like just what the world is. You hear the bad stuff, you know. But there was always more good than bad. There's certain parts of it I don't miss. I don't miss all the state mandates to do this and do this and. Some of the political aspects of teaching. But as far as shutting that door and being in the classroom, you know, preparing, that's the thing. You don't just shut the door and say, what am I going to do today? You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it.
Sure there is.
And I miss that part of it. And teachers, because teachers are a certain, to do what we do, and I don't want to, you know, praise just teachers, but to do what we do and put up with what we put up with, for the amount of money we do it for, it's you got to love what you do.
Absolutely.
And that's why there's a shortage maybe now, and why some teachers get in and 3 or 4 years ago, I'm out. it's a different type of job.
You know, it sounds, just supposing some things that maybe aren't true in fact, but it sounds like you've come to a place, up until now, you've done whatever's in front of you. You've been a teacher, you've found a teacher job, you worked in the community, but sounds like you have an opportunity now to, so to speak, reinvent yourself. Has that thought ever occurred to you, that at your age with your children, you're soon to be a complete empty nester? You finished one career honorably. You finished, you termed out, I guess, in your district. and you finish that segment of your life, and all of a sudden it looks like I'm sitting here talking to a guy who has an opportunity that many of us don't get a chance to do. It's just to reinvent yourself. Is that a part of your thinking?
It is, Bob. But you know what's funny is I feel like I've done that many times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a conversation this morning or yesterday. I'm trying to remember. I said, you know, I was, you know, from till you're 18, which when you're a kid, at 18, you know, that seems like forever. So you're never going to, you know, but then from 18 to during those college years when I was, you know, like I said, I went to college, dropped out or opted out or whatever, went back to work and went back to college and went back to work rather than in 84, I think it was 82, when the first big oil crunch hit, got laid off, went back to college. And finally in 1987, I'm like, actually I was in mechanical engineering. And when the math got a little even tough for me, I said, oh, I better find something else. I always wanted to coach basketball, and that's how I got to that point.
Okay.
You know? So I said, you know what, I'm going to get my degree in math education, and I want to coach basketball. So that was, you know, that was probably the going from, you know, being a teenager, I'm going to be an engineer, to, no, you know what, I think what my life's calling is teaching, and I don't know that I realized it at that time. But I knew that's the direction I wanted to go in. You know, and then you become husband and father. Actually, I quit coaching basketball in 2002. And then I stayed at Slide Ohio coaching other sports, you know, just trying to help out where I could.
Sure.
You know, I did the swim team, the tennis team, helped with softball, and had a CDL so I could drive the bus, which is everybody wanted me on their staff. You know, I could drive the bus for them. So there's another title, bus driver.
There you go. I love it.
But that's kind of how everything happened. And then in 2009, it was Christmas break of 2009, and qualifying was coming up for the 2010 elections. I get a phone call from Kim Harbison. Kim had been the District F representative. And then she won at large when either Pearl Williams or Kevin Kingston, they both passed away. And anyway, Kim became at large. And I get a phone call from, I'm trying to remember her first. It was Kira Hayes, I believe, with the Times-Picayune. And I said, hello. She goes, can I speak to Jay Newcomb? I said, this is him. Jay, this is Kira Hayes with the Times-Picayune. I understand you're interested in running for city council. I said, let me get back with you. I hung up. I said, and so I mentioned it to Kim that I may be interested in running. And so that's how that all kind of.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned it and kept toyed with it. And, and then, boom, I had to make a decision.
There you go.
The newspaper wants to know. And I said, man, if I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do it. Called her back. I said, yep, I'm in. Of course, I wasn't qualifying yet. But that's how. And I guess to put all that into your question, you know, reinventing myself, it's just always been that way. And I think it's the way life should be. You know, you
Okay. You, this is good. This is really good.
I wouldn't want to be the same person now that I was at 18, nor at 28, or no, nor at 38. 58 is good. I'm retired from teaching. I was term limited from the city council.
Well, with all of the diversity of, and yet a clear picture, there's a pattern. The pattern, it deals with people. It deals with learning new things. This whole thought of reinventing yourself, you now have an opportunity to do that now. So what's next?
I thought about that too. You know, I sat down with my wife and I said, you know, I can't, I'm 58 and I'm, you know, always been fairly active. I got to do something. I'm not ready to retire and sit at home and fish and do that all the time. You know, having that, and I call it a legacy of service, you know, being a teacher, city council, I enjoy working with people. I enjoy, and it goes back to that problem solving, working with others to solve those problems. I said, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and take my classes and get my insurance license.
Oh, okay. Good.
So,
it's life insurance, health, PNC, prop and casualty?
I can do it all now.
Really?
I got my life and health license at the end of May, delayed some things early in the summer, had some things going on. And then I took the classes and passed the test for property casualty in August. And I had spoke with John Case and Brenda. I've been knowing them a long time. And so I said, hey, you know, I got my licenses. I'm ready to go to work. And they said, I think we might can find a spot for you. So I went to work around Labor Day, around the beginning of September. I went to work with Lowry Dunham, Case, and Vivian. So like I say, certified in all those things. And my goal is just to replicate what they've been able to do, and that serve the community of Slidell, which is, you know, what I have done for the past 27 years, and I want to continue doing that.
Well, that's an awesome calling. Again, a people caring for, problem-solving part of life. From what you've told me about where you've been and what you've done, it sounds like a pretty decent fit.
I think it is. I love the office too. I keep going back to that teaching thing, you know, and learning. I love to learn new things. It doesn't matter what it is. I love learning new things. But one of the things that took me a little while, still taking me a while to get used to, is being in an office with adults. You know, when you're teaching, I always say the general public doesn't understand that idea of being in a classroom with 27, whatever, 30 kids. You shut the door and you can't go to the bathroom when you want. You get 25 minutes for lunch. I know, like, when I first went to work with Lowry, Dunham, Case, and Vivian, it was, they lock the door at 12 and they unlock it at 1. You got an hour for lunch. You know, it's just that by itself was, I tell you, you just don't get it. You know, I'm actually having adult conversations during the day. So it's been a very good fit. I love being there. I love my coworkers and John and Brenda. And so to this point, it's been everything I thought it could be.
Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you've lived the dream, so to speak.
I've lived my dream.
There you go. Okay.
You know, so I don't know about anybody else's dream, but it's been a good fit for me.
Well, great. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. I really appreciate giving us a little peek into who you are. And I've not had the pleasure of meeting you before now. So it's been a real joy for me just to get to know you a little bit. And I would say thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for Slidell. Obviously, you've made a difference going into the future to do the same.
Thank you very much, Bob, for your time. And I'll just say one more time, for those who are listening, just, you know, love your community, serve your community. We're in one of the best ones around.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Jay. Great talking to you. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text. Leave us a comment. We're interested in what you're thinking about. Encourage you to like us on Facebook. You also go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations. We appreciate your support. And again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voice of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.